We're doing the Netivot Shalom and Vayera, and the concept is tests, nisyonot, challenges. Asra nisyonot ninasa Avraham Avinu v'amad b'chulam. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, that Avraham was tested 10 tests. He stood up to all of them. Lo'odea kama chibato shel Avraham Avinu lifnei ha'makom, to make known how much was Avraham's love before the omnipresent. צריך ביאור לשמה כתבה תורה קדושה באריכות גדולה את כל פרשיות הניסיונות של אברהם אבינו. We need to explain why did the Torah write with such detail, at such length, all the stories of Avram's tests, כמו שמנום חזל, as the sages enumerated them. ויירב בארץ, there was a famine in the land. ותוקח האישה בית פרעה, the woman was taken to the house of Pharaoh. וישלח אבימלך ויקח את שרה, אבימלך sent and took Sarah. ובמיוחד הניסיון האחרון, and especially when we reach the last challenge של העקידה of the binding, והאלוקים ניסה את אברהם, we have an introduction. Here the Torah overtly states, and God tested Avram. שנכתב על כל פרטיו, here the Torah records the test with all its detail, והרי התורה הקדושה תורת חיים, we know the Torah is a Torah of life, ואין בה סיפורי דברים באלמה. The Torah doesn't record anything just for the sake of a story. So what is the Torah teaching us when it comes to the whole story of the tests, the challenges that Avram had? And some question, why is it that only when it came to this last test does the Torah state Vashem Nisa, Ve'elokim Nisa, God tested Avram? It doesn't say it on all the other tests. עוד צריך ביור קושיית המהר"ל. Furthermore, we have to understand the question that the Maharal asks, מדוע רק אצל אברהם מצינו שנתנסה בעשרה ניסיונות? Why is it that only by Avram we find that he was tested 10 tests, ולא בשאר האבות? We don't find that by the other fathers. ויש לבאר העניין, על פי מה שכתב המאור עיניים בפרשת וערה. We should explain this based on what the commentary called מאור עיניים wrote on Parshas Veira, שכמו שאברהם אבינו נתנסה בעשרה ניסיונות, that just as Avram, our forefather, was tested 10 tests, כך כל יהודי עובר בימי חייו עשרה ניסיונות לפי ערכו. So to every Jew in his lifetime will have to stand up to 10 tests, everyone on their level. והיינו כי כל יהודי נושא שליחות עליונה. That is because every Jew has, he is an emissary from above. He has a task to fulfill from above. Shelemana yarad la'olam, that for that purpose he came down to the world. Lemale shlichut zo, to fulfill this job that he was sent. He's a messenger. Val yedei nisyonot shover memaleu shlichuto ba'olam hazeh. Through passing these tests, he fulfills his. That's his mission in this world. Yes?
A convert, did those tests occur after the conversion, or is it his whole life?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's very interesting that the Netivot Shalom, you'll notice that he consistently speaks about the Yehudi.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that?
Uh-huh.
It strikes me every week again. Says the Yehudi has to undergo this, and the Yehudi has to undergo that. And I always ask myself the same question you're asking now. And what about a convert before conversion, after conversion? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't say what he didn't say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that there are a few stages, and we're going to digress a little bit now. There's the stage when a person is not Jewish at all. And at that stage, then he's like everyone else, like the rest of the world. Then there's the stage when a person accepted the Noahide laws and he's discovering. And at that stage we have a mitzvah to help him out. If we have meat that we messed up a slaughtering, a shechita became unkosher, Torah gives us a mitzvah to give it to him. It says, better than sell it, give it to him. He's doing what he's supposed to do in the world. What do you want from him? He's keeping the Noahide laws. It says, I don't remember the pasuk. Okay, I just blank. L'ger asher bisharecha titenenu v'achala, o machol anochri. The Torah says you have an animal that became non-kosher, give it as a gift to the person who's keeping the Noahide laws. Or else you could also sell it. The Torah like gives you a second option. You could sell it. First option, give it to him. That's step number two. Then the person is learning everything and he decides he wants to accept it. Technically, halachically, till he dunks in the mikveh is not Jewish. Halachically, it doesn't matter after the circumcision, before the circumcision. It ain't over till it's over. But there are different levels of where a person's holding spiritually. We say that when a person goes down to the mikveh, he comes up with a new neshama. He's born. That's when he's starting. If he davened that morning, he davens again. If he ate a meal and benched, and 72 minutes haven't passed, he benches again. He's starting from scratch. He went to the bathroom. He says another Asher Yotza. He puts on tefillin again, even if he happened to put on tefillin this morning. Now he's obligated. It all starts at that moment when he comes out of the mikvah. So obviously at that point he's like everyone else. At that point all of this applies. What do we say about beforehand? I don't know. Ve'alpi divrei Ramban, and based on what Nachmanides taught, malato shel Avraham Avinu hayta gdola, that Avraham Avinu's stature was great, lo mitzad shekiyem kol haTorah, not because he kept the whole Torah. We have on tradition that Avraham kept Pesach, ate matzah, did everything. That wasn't his source of greatness. Ela lefi she'amad ba'asara nisyonot. Avram's greatness was that he stood up to the 10 tests. De'baze odia kama chibato. In that he made known how great was his love. U'baze ikar gdulato v'tifarto al aflagat chibato lifnei hamakom. And this is where we see his glory and his greatness, in his unusual love to Hashem. V'haynu shekiyum kol haTorah kula adayin in bo kedei lodea godel hachavivut shel Avraham Avinu. The fact that Avram kept the whole Torah, that's not enough to show how much he loved Hashem. Rak hanisyonot modim kama chibato. Only when he stood up to the test do we see his love. You guys understand this concept? Think about it. There's a lot to that. It means that we're working in this world on two levels. There's the level where we're keeping the Torah, and that's purifying us, and that's the way we're supposed to lead our lives. But then there's the attitude with which we deal with the day-to-day challenges. Two different levels. One is the keeping, the other is the attitude. We're going to discuss about how the nisyonot really revolve around the attitude. What can Avram do when they take his wife? What's he going to do? The king's men just took his wife. What was his attitude? What was his response? What did he say to God? What did he feel towards God? The way we deal with the difficult situations in life are what define our connection to Hashem. That's where our love is shown. And if we could digress for a moment, in marriage it's the same way. The way we react when things go bad, when there's a problem, that's what defines how we are when things are good. You guys got that? Okay. This is the way it is with each individual. He has to pass 10 tests according to his level. It could be a Jew is keeping all of the Torah. He hasn't yet even scratched the surface. He hasn't even started doing his mission in this world. So that's not yet any proof of his love to Hashem. Ela nisyonot ha'ovrim alav him asher modim kama chibato shel kol echad ve'echad. The way a person stands up to his tests, the way he deals with his challenges in life, when things don't go well, that's when you start seeing his love for Hashem. Shar yadam hu mimaleh shlichuto ba'olam. Through the challenges, a person fulfills his mission in the world. We're up to a new paragraph, but I get the feeling everyone here wants to go to sleep. We'll pause here. Yeah.
Say you screw up one of those tests. Do you get like redos or something, or like you just have to do two times and hopefully you can redo it like that, or
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm just confused on that. I mean, I don't know what. I may say I don't know my test well, but so you should always do tshuva and etc. But like, say you get 10 tests. Is that like only 10? And like, what if you screw it up? Now you're like screwed?
I don't think so. We find that there were many people who attained great heights, even though they erred. I mean, Nachmanides learns that the fact that Avram went down to Egypt when there was a famine was a failure. We don't say Avram was a failure. Yet, according to Nachmanides, there was an aspect of the test, or don't call it of the test, but there was an aspect where Avram erred. We say he didn't speak badly about God, he took it lovingly. Says Nachmanides, should have stuck around. Should have figured out a way of making it work. So that's one opinion. But you see that's an accepted opinion. That means that even Avraham Avinu, we said, according to Nachmanides, the fact that he let Sarah get abducted was an error. According to some of the commentaries, the fact that he asked God, how do I know I'm going to get this land, was an error. There are things that Avraham did in error. According to some of the commentaries, the whole way he treated Ishmael was an error. The commentaries don't make Avram into a perfect being. We don't have saints in Judaism. Quite the contrary. We learn from the errors, and we don't view anyone as being perfect. No one. No one. When we say there were individuals who did not die for any reason other than the curse that came about from the serpent, what we mean is those individuals did not make mistakes that warranted dying. But not that they were perfect. No one was perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't perfect. No one. We don't believe in saints. We don't believe we were meant to be saints. So it cannot be that when we do an error, that's it. We messed up our lives. No. How God is going to give us another opportunity to build from there is another question. That's how God plays it out. But no one's expected to be perfect. We're expected to keep striving. David?
Weren't there like six people who never sinned?
That's what I referred to. No, that's what I said. It doesn't say they didn't sin. It says they did not do a sin that warranted their death. It's not my commentary. It's many Rishonim point that out. The Torah says, Shisha metu be'etyoshel nachash. Six died just because of what happened with the serpent, that there had to be death in the world. That doesn't mean they didn't sin. Yes, sir. And anyways, you should know that's a machlokas if even those six... we're on that level.
And the people who didn't die?
Doesn't say they didn't sin. Elio sinned. Elio erred. Why does Elio come to every bris?
Hanoch.
Hanoch also says that God took him away so he wouldn't sin, he wouldn't mess up. He wouldn't have stayed on that level.
So does that mean he didn't mess up?
It means he lived on a good level, just like many righteous people lived on a good level. And God decided to take him away from the potential of falling. Shmuel, you wanted something?
Yeah, Rabbi. I was just wondering, does that mean that Mashiach's also not going to be perfect or something like that? Like he might also err in something, or he's going to be the ultimate perfect human being or something. Mashiach.
I don't know of a source that says that he has to be perfect. It says he has to do certain things right. Doesn't say he has to. I don't know of a source that says he has to be perfect. I don't think such an expectation exists of anyone.
Okay. So even he would might make mistakes and err and stuff like that.
It depends on what area. That's what I'm saying. There are areas that he's supposed to be right in. There are other areas where I don't think we can expect of anyone to be perfect. We're human.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to pick up here tomorrow night, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Laila Tov.